Let's dig right into the word here today. And, you know, we are in part three of our series called Step Christmas. And we are going to close out that series here today. And again, we can't emphasize enough to you how excited we are for next weekend. We're not having a Sunday morning service. We're having two Saturday night services, and we expect them to be packed wall to wall. And it's going to be at 5 and 7 p.m. Be a part of that. It's going to be a candlelight communion. Awesome message, worship, time, music. It's going to be fantastic. So be a part of that. Matter of fact, our Facebook banner over on our Facebook page, Journey Church Troy Mo, or in our group, you can make that your banner just to get the word out online to all your friends and those in your community hey, we're having a good time here. We want them to be here as well just to celebrate Christmas. So, hey, let's dig in real quick. Luke chapter 10. If you have the ability to even follow along with us on the app as well, or if maybe you're watching this on your smartphone, you won't be able to. I just love technology and all that allows us to have and all that it offers us. But Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 38 to 42 here as we dig into this last message installment of Step Christmas. And I love this scenario in Scripture. And it says this at verse 38 of Luke 10. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that what we share today, what we hear today, would be just that, your word. I pray, God, that I would simply be an echo of what you're saying to us today, your people. I don't want to be the voice. I want you to be the voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Like I said, I absolutely love this scene in Scripture because it's so relatable in that you can kind of see this happening in our homes today if this happened to us. I mean, here you have Jesus stopping into a village, and in that village you have this woman named Martha who apparently sees Jesus and is compelled by who he is, by what she has heard about him, and she wants to connect. And so, hey, Jesus, our home is open. Won't you come in and rest your feet for a while? And even your disciples come in and rest their feet for a while. And he and they agree. And I think it's important to understand that culture then carried an intense and important view on having a reputation of hospitality. If you have somebody over, you are to pull out the show for them. You are to feed them. You are to care for them. You are to clean for them. And even the animals they rode in on, you're to take care of them. Mind you, I mean, there exists no technology to do any of these things quickly. So, I mean, if I'm going to feed you, it's not like I can just go to the refrigerator and throw something in the microwave. I mean, if you want some bread, I'm beating the wheat down and beating the grain down and making it all from scratch. It was all from scratch stuff, and if I want to clean for you, I gotta get a pot and make a fire and get that water hot just to be able to give you some warm water to clean your face or your feet or you know, it just took time to do it. If I want to help clean, because you would see even they would clean clothes back then. I mean, you know, clean an outfit that they were bringing in. Just it took time, and it was the custom for them to be extremely hospitable toward each other. And so here you have these two ladies tasked with these responsibilities to do all this work for Jesus and his disciples. That's a lot of dudes to take care of in a home for two ladies. And one of them, Mary, Scripture just said, when Jesus walks in, Mary is so captivated by him that she abandons the responsibilities that her culture says to do. She abandons the tasks. She abandons the to-do list that need to be done to serve him, to honor him as culture demanded. And she just found herself sitting at his feet, listening to every word that came out of his mouth without a care in the world about anything else she should be doing in that moment. And Martha, have you ever worked with someone and they're just not carrying their load? Like, have you ever just been with somebody and then they're not doing their part, or you're working hard and they're just sitting around? Do you know the fire that just burns on the inside of you for not their well-being, but you just want to give them the black eye of fellowship? Amen. It's annoying when you're around somebody and they're not working and you are. And this is what Martha, you can imagine, she's just making everything while Mary's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's getting ticked, man, because things need to be done. She's like, we don't got time to listen, Mary. You know, we don't got time to chat. We got work that needs to be done. We got to serve our guests here. In fact, it really wasn't even customary to have much conversation taking place at all in situations like these, unless you were wealthy enough to have paid servants to help. But I mean, with the work that needed to be done just to host someone where they can rest and eat, didn't really give way to much conversation, as the custom of hospitality in situations like this was just to be a blessing to a fellow citizen traveling through, which is kind of what you see here. But Mary in this moment didn't care about that. There was something about him she just wanted to connect to. There was something about Jesus that pulled her heart to his feet. And I just want to be with him. I just want to hear from him while he's here with us. Man, if you think about it, you can really copy and paste this scene in Scripture right into our busy Christmas seasons today, can't you? Where there's so much work to be done, there's so much hustle, and there's so much bustle, and there's hither to go to and thither to go through, and we've got all these things that we have to do, that we end up hosting the Christmas season without really spending time with the one the Christmas season is all about. You know, in this series, we are talking about the three F's that leave us feeling left out in those places of stress and disconnect at Christmas. And one was finances. We talked about that in week one. Other was family. Man, we talked about that week two. Check the podcast, man, if you haven't had an opportunity to. And you can even share this message on a podcast that'll be available tomorrow. But I want to talk about the last F that leaves us feeling out of the circle, that leaves us feeling disconnected a lot of times at Christmas, and I would call it the frenzy. The frenzy can also bring us feelings of isolation, where, you know what I'm talking about, it's a Sunday morning, but this is rare for you to have time at home, right? I mean, life is busy for many, many people, and I think people find themselves so busy that they just don't have time to stop and think, and it's kind of tough when you see how busy you are and how not busy everyone else is while you're out there working overtime or two jobs, or some of you, I know at Journey Church, have three jobs just trying to make it, and maybe you'll scroll on Facebook in your free time and you see families taking Christmas selfies, you know, at the mall, hashtag family life, hashtag love the season, you know, and you're just like, man, I don't even got time to have free time. It's just only time for overtime right now. And I see so many people around this time just worn down, working so hard that, man, when you walk on to December 25th, your tanks are so bone dry. By the time you walk into Christmas Day, you're barely able to stand. You're barely able to smile because of the stress and load that you just experience getting there. You know, if that's you, and if that in any way related to you, I just let me be pastor in this moment to you. It doesn't have to be a stressful season. It doesn't have to be. And please understand, I'm not being inconsiderate when I say that, because I understand frantic schedules possessing the holiday. Believe me, I understand. But God, in this scripture we just read in Luke 10, is putting a light on the importance of being merry in times of great demand, in times of great busyness, being a merry in times of great responsibility. In other words, to not allow the distractions and the to-do lists that come with the season we are in to take us away from the time we can spend with Him. Now, I'm not slamming Martha at all in this verse, because really, if you look at what Martha's doing, what is Martha doing wrong here? Nothing. I mean, she's taking care of, tending to the responsibilities required in hosting the Son of God, the Son of the living God. There's nothing wrong with what she's doing. It's what she's not doing, nor had plans to do, that Christ is putting a light on, right? Verse 41 says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing," think about that, "is needed." Jesus is saying, in all that you're doing, which is great, which is appreciated, which is treasured, but don't forget what really matters to me. Never let the responsibilities in life take you away from the most important relationship you have in your life. Jesus is saying, you want to know what I really want in this crazy season, in all of this time of responsibility? You want to know what I really want? Spend time with me. And Journey Church, that same voice speaks to us today from this scripture. Spend time with the Lord. Don't forsake the precious opportunity we have just to sit at the Lord's feet and spend time with Him. You know, it's sad but true in that we, as Christ followers, often allow prayer, our time with the Lord, to be one of the first things that gets put on the shelf when we get crazy busy. And I want to say something to you, and if you're taking notes or on your phone or computer or writing something down, this would be a good thing to write down. Prayer is a priority that cannot be compromised. Prayer is a priority that cannot be compromised. Spending time with the Lord is a priority that cannot be compromised, no matter how busy the season gets us. Because again, prayer, which is just a fancy word for conversation and talking, is the only route, even at home right now, everybody say this word, only. It's the only route to which we get to know Him. And I've said that a lot, and some people have challenged me in that. Well, what about the Bible, and what about going to church? And those are great, but hear me when I say, Scriptures and our commitment to the church are mechanisms God has established for us to get to know about Him. But prayer, which is so inclusive in nature, if you want to feel in the circle, if you want to feel connection into the holiday season, even in a time of great frenzy, pray. Prayer is the only route we have to come to know God. And that should never be compromised, no matter the season that we are in. You know, one of my, you got, as a pastor, you kind of have hero pastors or very influential pastors that you kind of receive from and really look to. And I love a pastor who pastors Gateway in Austin, Texas. His name is Robert Morris. Don't go online and listen to his messages, or you'll find a lot of stuff that I've been taking from him, so I want to conceal my sources. But I like Robert Morris a lot, because if you just look at Robert Morris from just a plain view, he's a very plain individual. Got this old school haircut. There's really nothing fancy about his gifts or you know, he's just a great Bible teacher with a great heart. And if you look at his oratory, I mean, it's not anything like, whoa, man, this guy is one of the greatest preachers on the planet. But, man, I really look to him because of the content in his heart that he shares a lot. He really got a heart for not only the local church, but, you know, for the world. And God has really blessed him as a pastor. And I was reminded of a story that he told that was verified and even backed up by the source that he cited. But he was in the middle of a building program, Robert Morris was, several years ago. And anybody knows a pastor or anybody that's in the middle of a building program, you're building a house or whatever. I mean, finances get really tight. And he got one of those miracle phone calls that you wait for by one of the parishioners. And he said, hey, I want to tell you, so-and-so has passed away, and they had a foundation, and they have left for the church X amount of dollars, and it ended up being in the tens of millions of dollars. It was a significant gift that Robert Morris said just the amount would have been enough to not only take care of the rest of our building program, but it would have allowed us to do things that we've planned to do years down the road. It just accomplished a lot. And he goes, oh my goodness, this is incredible. And the person that called him says, hey, if you wouldn't mind, meet me at the bank tomorrow at 10 a.m. And we'll do the paperwork and we'll get the funds added to the church account. And this was Robert Morris's response. He said, can we do 11:30? Because I'm spending time with the Lord at 10. I just heard that story, and I was like, what? And I can't even imagine what the guy who is giving this money to was thinking, like, what? I'm giving you tens of millions of dollars, and you're doing what? You're spending time with the Lord. Like, you would think, oh, is Jesus available at 11:30 as much as he's available at 10? But he goes, I can't do 10. I'm spending time with the Lord. And he goes, okay, well, let's do 11:30 then. And kind of awkward. And anyway, they met at the bank, and they ended up getting all the paperwork done. And after they were done, he goes, you know, I've never met anybody that would be willing to give up what many would perceive to be just a time of prayer. They can just always move that, but you find those times immovable. Wow. Think about that. That challenged me as a pastor. And I think that should challenge you as a Christ follower. How important of a priority is your time with the Lord, even in times of great responsibility? Huh. Think about that for a second. And I've watched Robert Morris, just God bless him because he puts him first. Well, no, what Scripture says, seek ye first and everything else will work out. Don't compromise your relationship with the Lord. Amen. Hey, you know, I want to kind of close this talk here today, and I'm going to have Tim come up, and we're going to do kind of one more song before we go. But before we do that, we had intended to give these to you as you came in your seat. So, Jake, I'm going to ask you, if you would, brother, to post this in the comments right here. This is what it looks like. Post this right here in the comments, and so they can have it. If not, we're also going to put it on our Journey Church group page, the image for you to save onto your tablet, computer, smartphone, whatever. But let me explain this real quick. It's you know those little candy like paper boxes that have 25 days to Christmas. And you open each little door, and it's a piece of chocolate in it. And I see a lot of people get those. It's very popular. It's like 25 days to Christmas. I got to get my next piece of chocolate. You know, we're very faithful to it. You know, all right, it's December 2nd. You know, we open it up. December 3rd, we open up. We get our. You know, I was just thinking, what if we did something like that with prayer? And I know we're late into the season to do a 25 days, but I thought, what if we did, and I don't know if this is backwards or not, but what if we did a checkbox that said 7 days until Christmas, and we had 7 Christmas prayers? And yeah, it's an Advent calendar. Thanks so much, Naneki. But what if we did 7 Christmas prayers in the 7 days that we have left leading up to Christmas? And if you were to take this and put it on the home screen of your phone, just make this image the home screen of your phone, which is just going to your, you know how to do it. If not, Google, how do I make a home screen image on my phone? But take this, and every day starting today that leads us to Christmas, which is 7 days that'll take us to Christmas, we put on there 7 different prayers for you to pray, 7 different scriptures for you to read, just for you to take a section of time every day in the 7 days leading up to Christmas to just sit at the feet of Jesus and ponder on this. Like tonight, December 18th, we want to encourage you to pray for unity in your family. How many families need unity, especially as you're walking into the Christmas season where you got just so much opportunity for division, and you just sit, ponder, pray for, hear from God on, meditate on unity in my family, and Romans 15:6 will help you with that. And then tomorrow, December 19th, we have a prayer to pray called Grant Me a Spirit of Joy. How many know we need joy, especially on a Monday? Amen. Just to look at that, and Philippians 4:4 will help you out. Just spending time praying each of these prayers. Man, I pray that this would be a blessing to you, to be a mechanism used to get you to spend time with the Lord during this busy time when everybody else is kind of maybe like Martha, just tending to the responsibilities, but Jesus is looking for Mary's. And this right here will allow us to be like that. This right here will keep you at the feet of Jesus over the next 7 days. Amen. Can we get some hearts for a good amen there? Can we get some hearts for some people that are going to make this your home screen image, your back screen image on your computer? Come on, somebody. That's good stuff right there. And so I just want to encourage you this week to take time to pause and to reflect just on who Jesus is, and just in the quiet times of it all. It's in these times where God is found, and commit yourself, you know, to just 15, 20 minutes at the least, where you're able just to sit and take opportunity to say, you know what, Jesus, I just want to sit at your feet and talk to you about unity in my family. I want to sit at your feet and just ponder on your heart for my home. Man, I just pray this is a big blessing to you. Hey, let me pray. Lord, I thank you so much just for the opportunity to be here and do this service in this.